This morning, I have no relationships to discuss as my disclosures guide. I'm going to be talking about data that we collected for Fortaleza Latina, which is a multi-level trial of the clinic and individually based intervention to increase mammography rates among Latinas. This is a culturally adapted intervention with lots of input from the community, receiving funding from NCI, and the project team is listed on this slide. So geographical area, as you heard yesterday in the plenary and the theme of this meeting, is associated with measures of health outcomes or health status. And we're going to be looking at three of them. One is socioeconomic deprivation, which is a composite of poverty, income, and education. And we know that it's associated with cancer, with cardiovascular disease, diabetes, and other outcomes. Ethnic composition, which is the percent perhaps of variability in race and ethnicity, has shown mixed associations in prior literature with cancer and cardiovascular outcomes. And we're going to be looking at perceived neighborhood social connections or social cohesion and the relationship with mental health. Neighborhood factors may be associated with Latina health in cross-sectional analyses, though and through mechanisms that higher neighborhood social cohesion would be associated with better mental health, high neighborhood socioeconomic deprivation would be associated with lower mental health. I prefer to think of it as lower is associated with, and higher variability in Latino density with better mental health. So our objective was to study the association between these neighborhood factors, the perceived neighborhood social cohesion, the neighborhood socioeconomic deprivation, and the Latino neighborhood density and self-reported mental health amongst Latina in Western Washington. So our basic conceptual model for associations is looking at our three factors of interest in terms of our independent variables, our potential cofounders of age, marital status, cultural factors, educational attainment, our potential mediators, and our mental health that are items taken from the mental health inventory five-item instrument. So each hypothesis has a different set of variables depending on what we were interested in looking in the associations and literature base. Neighborhood socioeconomic deprivation is associated, we are hypothesizing, is associated with worse perceived mental health, with age, marital status, and cultural factors as the confounders and the mediators of educational attainment. For neighborhood variability and Latino density, we are looking at these variables, set of variables, and finally for neighborhood social cohesion as perceived, we're looking at only the confounders and have no potential mediators. So this is a map of our study areas in Western Washington. Seattle is here, and we have one group of clinic in Mount Vernon in this catchment area, one group in Marysville in this catchment area. Skagit County and up here is where we have a lot of agricultural workers that are in Western Washington. In Seattle area, we have a South Park clinic. They live in a very concentrated area. Many of the Latinos do. And the Burien clinic, and there's a mixed group here in the middle in South Park. So our basic questionnaire is from Fortaleza Latina. It's got 531 individuals in it, and we're using three outcome summary scores, one on anxiety mood from the MHI-5, one on depressive mood, and a single item on happiness. And our exposure are these neighborhood-related variables, the three types, and the confounders. Our statistical analysis is a principal component analysis of the census block group socioeconomic deprivation. For Latino density, it's a Gini calculation of percent from each census tract and the census block group or tract level to individual residing there using linear regression. The neighborhood exposure variables for socioeconomic conditions, this is a four-item principal components analysis that's got the percent with less than a high school, education, the percent under 100% federal poverty level, and the percent unemployed and median household income. So that, it works out pretty well together, to working together. For neighborhood cohesion, there are six items in this scale. People around here are willing to help. It's a close-knit neighborhood. These are standard sort of social capital questions about social cohesion. And more complicated is this variation in Latino density. And we thought in relation to the overall project that if Latinas lived more closely together, they might be more likely to go to the CMAR clinic for mammography. And so we were interested in looking at census tract Latino density. And so we took a Gini coefficient of the block level percentage of Latino. And here the Gini coefficient is 1, indicates that a single block within the census tract contains an entire Latino population. So it's a measure of the spread of the Latino residents within that particular neighborhood. So the map on the right is the actual map, and you can see how big this area is, but it's not adjusted for the actual population. And this is a cartogram on the left that actually gives us the actual areas that we've got. With the this is the percentage 100% under the poverty level for socioeconomic deprivation. So you take the regular map and you put it into its mix with as the number of Latinos in the population, and you get the cartogram on the left. For variability in Latino density, you can see how large these areas are. They're squeezed into smaller areas with the cartogram once you have adjusted for the population variables. So our group is married about 60%, but you can see these are individual level data. You can see that the percent without a high school is quite high at 72%. Without, underneath 100% federal poverty level is 73%, 74% without health insurance. Now this is a primarily Spanish-speaking community, and 80% of them were born in Mexico. So at the neighborhood level, this is comparing Kings, Snohomish, and Skagit counties, which are the counties in which our groups are located. And we compare the county level indices with our population, and you can see that our population is considerably different than the county as a whole, with 68% without a high school education, 74% without health insurance, and 72% underneath the poverty level compared to the ones on the right. So it's quite a separate socioeconomic. So here's our results. And this is showing that we have some significant results. The first model is adjusting for age, marital status, and second adds education, and the third does all the cultural factors. So this is the full model, and you can see here with looking at the different tertiles of socioeconomic deprivation that we retain across socioeconomic deprivation. For the sake of time, I'll cut to this slide because it shows you the significant results, and you can see them in terms of bolding. So with MHI 5 anxiety, socioeconomic deprivation was associated in the highest tertile with the mental health item. There's two items that make up the anxiety, and it's through all three models. So no matter what you adjust for, anxiety still comes up. The others are not significant across all the models. For neighborhood Latino density, nothing is significant. So our hypothesis on density of Latinas living together in relationship to mental health didn't reveal any associations. But for social cohesion, you can see down here that we have some results that are you might say borderline in terms of social cohesion, but the MHI happy item comes up trumps. And so how they perceive their cohesion of their neighborhood is highly related to how happy they perceive themselves to be. And I bet you that would work in New Orleans as well, from what we heard here yesterday. So in conclusion, higher neighborhood socioeconomic deprivation was associated with lower self-reported anxiety amongst the Latina. We have the neighborhood density variation was not consistently associated with any of the components of the mental health status. The lower perceived neighborhood social cohesion was associated with lower reports of happiness amongst the Latina. And we will acknowledge our cross-sectional limitation. We do have longitudinal data and may possibly be able to see some of this with a longitudinal. We do not know the length of time that they have lived in the residence area, and this was secondary data analysis, so the study was not necessarily designed to test these hypotheses, but it came out of interest of myself and my geographically talented postdoc who could do the maps. So we think that we would want to replicate this using multi-level designs and longitudinal analyses if possible. Well, no, you want a few questions now, or do you want to keep on going? I think so too. We'll just keep going.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. Is that helpful? Clear?